there was a, you know, God was a farmer working the field, and some of the field was like really like smooth and fertile and ready, just ready for the, ready to be planted. It was like, you know, like, you know, like you can see that dirt where there's not these big rocks or boulders, and it was ready. But some of the, some other parts of the field, there were rocks, little small rocks, and some parts had bigger rocks. And for, and I felt like it represented some of us, some of where we're at with the Lord. Some of us, you know, you feel like, man, I feel like I'm in a really good place with the Lord. I feel like my, my field doesn't have a lot of rocks in it. But some of you might feel like, man, I feel like my field is full of rocks. And I felt like the Lord just wanted you to know that he's faithful in tending to that ground for you, and that he, and he's there. He's like a faithful farmer who's preparing the field. He's preparing the field to plant the seed and then to wait for the harvest. And even, I think even as Ben shares this word, actually I was scheduled to preach tonight. Ben preached this morning. I'm like, you got to preach that tonight. So I feel like it's a real now word for what God wants to sow into our hearts. And for some of us, I think he wants to, for some of us, it's going to be like, oh, he wants to remind you of his love for you. And for others, he wants you to have a revelation of his love for you. But I don't think there's anyone here that this word isn't for. I feel like the Lord has something for each one of us. And so if we would just prepare our hearts, open our hearts, make ourselves ready to receive the word. I feel like this is a word from God. So so I'm just going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for Ben. And Lord, we want to thank you that you are the God who speaks, Lord. You're not just the Logos word, but you're the Rhema word. And so, Lord, we want the Rhema word. We want the Logos word, but we want the Rhema word. We want the now word of God. And so, Lord, I pray that as Ben preaches, as he brings a word, that you'll find those little compartments in our heart that need to be tended to, that maybe there may be little closed off parts of our heart where we've been hurt or broken, or we've just been disappointed. And even if we've been disappointed with you, Lord, that I pray that you would find those little places, and you'd go in and do those micro repairs or even macro repairs. And we would leave after that, we'd leave tonight with a profound revelation of your love for us. Refresh something in us tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for Ben.
Thanks. all right. Good to see you guys again. Two Sundays in a row. This is like so abnormal. But thank you. Thank you for putting this on me. I'm making a little more space for myself, if that's okay. I'm sorry, worship team. Such a sweet time in the Lord in worship. Man, it's so, I don't know, it's just a game changer to be loved by him and to have the Holy Spirit like in us. And this tonight, I feel like what the Lord put in my heart is actually being strengthened by his love, for us being strengthened. There is almost a strengthening effect of love. And I want to look at that in Ephesians 3 that we'll dive into a bit tonight, hopefully in some detail, and do a bit of a study, a bit of a look, a bit of a declaring of the truth here. But honestly, my prayer for this message is that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes again, and that the Holy Spirit would truly strengthen us with his love. And honestly, truly, if the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, doesn't come and like quicken us in a sense, open our eyes to it, this is, it really is a waste of time. And so I'm trying to stand fully on him and his power tonight, and just let him do what he wants to do in us, in you. And I'm truly, like, I mean this. Like, this isn't, again, this isn't just Christianese that, I don't know, maybe every other church is saying tonight. I don't know. But really, if the Spirit of God doesn't come and show us his love and open our eyes to it, we're going to be unchanged. We're going to be unmoved. But actually, what we do have with Christ, what we do have, the sacrifice of Jesus, it should change us. It should move the needle. It should actually do something to us inside that makes us change forever. So, yeah, in prepping for today, this week was kind of a hard week on like a personal level. It was one of those weeks where I was struggling to feel connected with the Lord. It wasn't that a lack of trying. It was just like I'm battling to, truthfully, to get into his presence and to know his love and actually like be refreshed in it. And so this morning before, like Lon said, we preached at Boiling Springs this morning. So I was up early this morning. I was seeking his face. I went before the Lord and I was like, Lord, like because of this week and because of just the battle it was, like, are we okay? Like, I just wanted to ask the Lord, like, really, are we okay? And I don't feel like I have hidden sin in my life. I don't feel like I've got strongholds that, you know, the Lord's like, actually, we're not okay. This is in your life. It needs to go. I don't feel like that. It felt like I just was having a hard time being connected with you, being like knowing your love. And I felt like his answer was, he showed me, what would it be like if my two sons, if they went to you and they said, Dad, are we okay? I was like, oh, I see it. I see it. Of course we're okay. Like, of course we're okay. If my sons come to me, they say, Dad, are we good? I'm like, yes. Like, you don't even need to ask, man. Like, you're my sons. Like, I will always love you. There's nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. You're mine. Like, you're my offspring, to put it in a weird way. But you're mine. And it's like unconditional. You know, even if they come to me and they're like, but like, you saw me do that thing yesterday. Literally, we had a child spit on another child last night. Like, are we good even after that? Yes, we're good even after that. You're mine. That doesn't change the part of love, like, that's resting on you, that this relationship that we have can't be taken from us. So yes, we're good. And I feel like the Lord reminded me of that this morning. It's like, my son, we're good. I love you. I love you. Of course there's things he wants to change in me and you. Of course. But we're good. I absolutely love you. And so let's look at Ephesians 3. And I want to look at specifically four things, if we get to them. Four things that are going to answer the question, how does God's love strengthen you and I? You and me. How does God's love strengthen us? All right, so I'm going to read Ephesians 3. Here now, and you guys, while I'm reading through this, will you guys like try to capture some of the words of strength and power and riches and like the superlatives, but try to like grasp these things, because this is a little bit of a theme that we see in this passage. So a little bit of setting the stage for Ephesians 3. So the book of Ephesians, does anybody know the theme of Ephesians? I want to just shout it out real quick. What's that? Heavenly exchange. Yes. Heavenly wealth, heavenly riches, or we could even say like the joy that it is in being with Christ and being in Christ, the riches of having a relationship with Jesus. And so it starts off chapter 1, chapter 2, unpacking some of that. Chapter 3 here, we find in verse 14 where we're going to pick up. Paul's now praying, and he only prays in his writings a couple times. Colossians 1, Ephesians 3, we find a prayer, and it goes like this. And you guys, you've probably heard it, you've probably read it, I hope you have, but it says this in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's powerful. If it, can you give me some feedback? Okay, it's a little quiet. Give me some feedback. Someone say amen or like go, like preach it, brother. Anything at this point, all right? William, could you just be my amen guy? Like every 5 minutes, no matter what I just said, could you just say amen, all right? Just get it out there every 5 minutes. Like startle me with it, okay? I just need some feedback. I need to know you're with me here. This is important. If I've been going all day, you can too, all right? All right, so stay with me here. Yes, Shannon. Yes, there we go. So we're Christians, right? Amen. Yes, we're Christians. We aren't strengthened by supplements. We aren't strengthened by vitamins. We aren't strengthened by trips to the spa. We aren't strengthened by physical workouts. We are Christ. We are strengthened by his love. His love for us has a revitalizing effect, has a strengthening effect that changes us. The love of a good father. And I think, honestly, I was picking up on it tonight. Some of our souls here, even tonight, some of our hearts are weary. Some of us are like me. You're struggling to know that God actually loves me. You're struggling to see it, struggling to believe it, like believe it in you, as part of you. I recently came through a season. I think I shared a little bit last week about it as well. But I found myself believing the lie that I'm not lovable. And I look in the mirror, and I'm like, how would you ever? No, I'm just kidding. There it is. No, I look in the mirror, I'm like, I see like a bunch of reasons why you're not lovable, you know? But it's a lie. I've had to work through this. And maybe that's even where you're at tonight. You're believing some lie that's actually keeping you from experiencing the rejuvenating love of Jesus, the strengthening love of Christ. Because, man, the enemy wants to come for that. He wants you not to connect those dots. He wants to tear those dots apart. Say, oh, yeah, sure, he loves you. But, like, what about this? He wants to accuse you. But we are not strengthened by supplements and workouts. We are strengthened by his love. And I want to spend some time on that. I want to pray before we jump into it in more detail that, again, that the Holy Spirit, that the very Spirit of God would do what he does. And like we preached on last week, would guide us into truth, would open our eyes to the beauty and the riches and the wealth of a relationship with Jesus, and that we would be transformed, that my inner being would change its form, that we would experience change. Is that okay if we pray for that? So I pray, will you guys also open your hearts? Will you also ask the Spirit of God to come, to open your eyes? And maybe you're even in this place where you're like, man, I feel loved this morning. I don't struggle with what you struggle with, Ben. I'm doing great. I was like baptized afresh in his love yesterday. If that's you and you're in that place, amen. But let's go for more. But would you guys open your hearts while we pray again? So, Lord, we do. Lord, we don't want to move forward without your Spirit. Or we don't want to say anything that you're not saying. And so, Lord, would you open our eyes? Lord, would you open our eyes again to your great love for us? And Lord, would your Spirit truly, Lord, truly do what your Spirit says it does? And would you take this truth of your love and plant it deep in us? Take it, Lord. Take it and just press it down even deeper into who we are. Press it into the deepest parts of our existence, of our being, Lord. Would you take this truth and truly change us, Lord? So what comes out of us is this identity, Lord, that we are yours. We are loved by you. We are loved with an everlasting love. We are loved with an unfailing, unchanging love, Lord. So would you do it tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, so I said four things. First thing we're going to see in the end of verse 16. That Paul's praying. He says, I'm literally on my knees before the Father. I'm praying that he would grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man. So the first answer to the question, how does God strengthen us with his love, is right there in that verse. His Spirit gives us power. Power. Everyone say power. So growing up in the world that I did, which was a beautiful world in so many ways, we were very nervous, though, about the word power. And we like rarely talked about it. And I get that. I actually do understand why. I think the human brokenness can so easily idolize power and influence. And so it can be a sensitive thing. It can easily become a trap that we step in that actually becomes an idol, becomes something that actually does damage rather than good. And so I get it. Like, let's avoid it because of that. And then there is, you know, we're part of this church now that we're like, We don't really have a label for us, but we do believe in the grace gifts. We do believe in the charismata. And so that, what does that do? Does that put us in this weird camp where there's like crazy things over here too? And then we're calling all of this weird, bizarre stuff power? So I'm kind of nervous about that. Like, I kind of don't want to be a part of that in a sense. And so I'm nervous to talk about power, but it lies in front of our faces. We see it in the scripture. We see it here. It is the word dunamis. It is the word that later the English word give us dynamite. It is that word. We can't escape it. And here in this context, it's moral power. It's excellence of the soul, but it's passive. It's a passive power. It's not a power that came from me. It's a power that was given to me. So if you think about this, I asked this morning if there were any electricians. Are there any electricians here? Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, it was just funny. I was like, it's very different to be an electrician and know how to wire a house. If you know what I'm talking about. I know you know what I'm talking about, Caitlin. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, I can wire a house. I'm like, maybe we should see some certifications first. But if you think about it this way, every house is wired for electricity, right? How many of you guys have electricity in your home? Okay. Vaughn? Is there an issue? Every house is wired for electricity, but what happens? Does the electricity come from within the house? No. It receives electricity. It receives power. So in a sense, we as Christians, we are wired for power, but it is not coming from within us. It is something that we receive from the Spirit of God, that God himself gives us his power, his dunamis. Like, that's awesome. Will. Hit me. There it is. Yes. The Spirit strengthens us to do what we want to do for Jesus and to be who God's asking us to be. We're in spiritual battles and we need this power. We need him to invade us, to change us, to fight for us. We need the Spirit to do it. 1 Corinthians 4:20 talks about the power that we're discussing here in this verse. The kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. There it is. It doesn't belong to us. Like, we should be really cautious if us or people we see are claiming this power for ours. It literally just said it's not that. Colossians 1:11, the other prayer that Paul prays in the book of Colossians, he says, again, be strengthened with all power. This is resurrection power. Power to do the work, power to be his witnesses, power for God to accomplish his purposes through us. And it's power through the Spirit. So again, my kids are in the back. If I told my wife, Becca, I said, hey, can you go get the kids? So she would have to go through the lobby to get my kids. That's not it's not that in this passage. It's not through the Spirit. We have to walk through the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, but it's really by the Spirit. By the Spirit, the power is given by the Spirit in our inner beings, deposited from someone outside of us, something outside of us that is inside of us as well. It's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. It's the beauty of all of this. But it's power for living and walking with Jesus. It's miracle-working power. It's life-giving power of the Spirit. It's the love-drenched power of the Spirit. It's the serving power of the Spirit, the leading power of the Spirit. The very Spirit of God gives us God's power. We can't escape it. It's not ours. Didn't come from me. Came from him, but he gives it. And we get to serve him with it. Oh, what does this mean to have power from the Spirit? How is that strengthening us? We've already talked about a few things, but it means we don't fight alone. We don't fight our battles alone. We have the Spirit of God within us that gives us power to fight, the power to stand, the power to overcome by his grace for his glory. And so the first thing, the first way that God strengthens us with his love is that he gave us the Spirit of God to give us power. Does that make sense? And okay, second thing. If we go to the next verse. So we see in verse 16, you're strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So the second thing for answering the question, how does the love of God strengthen me? It's this. It's just that. Jesus lives in us. Jesus lives in me. We can't downplay this. He lives in me. He lives in you if you're a Christian. We have the Spirit of God that's been given, and there's something of Jesus that dwells in me. And there's actually, it's really cool when you think about that word for dwell. There's two different Greek words in the original text that talk about, that help us understand, that convey the right idea for what's being used here. So one word has the idea of living in a place as a stranger, much like Abraham. So Abraham, he was a bit of a nomad, really didn't have a long-term home. He was always moving. He was always following the Spirit. He was following, he was going where God told him. And that's one thing. So that would be one type of dwelling or living in. But the other idea, the second idea of this word dwell, is actually the idea of settling down in a place to make it your permanent home. Your permanent home. So Jesus dwells in our hearts by faith. Jesus has taken up permanent residency in our hearts by faith. Like Jesus has moved in and he's here to stay. Like this isn't talking about like, now that Jesus is in me, well, he's got an opinion. It's like, no, now that Jesus has moved in, he has authority. So like, if he wants to change the furniture around, then he has the total authority to come in and change the furniture around. If he wants to paint the walls a different color, he can paint the walls a different color. If he wants to touch something in my heart that's sensitive, he can touch it. And we let him, because he has taken up permanent residency in you, not just a hit and run. He is here to reside, to live, inhabit, and to settle down, to literally make himself at home in your hearts. Thank you. So Paul's saying that as the Spirit strengthens the inner person, Christ dwells even more deeply in our hearts through faith. Do you guys notice in this verse where Jesus dwells? Say it if you see it. Where does Jesus dwell? Our hearts. Everyone say it out loud with me. Our hearts. One more time. Our hearts. He decided to take up permanent residence in our hearts. The part of us, what often called the seat of affection, the seat of intellect and will, the place where we process and where we reason and we make decisions. The part of us that is us. He picked that spot, your heart, to take up residency. The place even where we're stubborn and weak, even the place of our problems at times. He's like saying, no, I'm still moving in to that place. And I'm going to change you. I want your heart, Ben. I want your heart. If you think about your home, your own home, if someone comes over for dinner, they're a guest, right? They'll probably ask, can I get a glass of water? Do you mind if I sit here? Is it okay to put my feet up? They respect your house because it's not theirs, right? But if it's your home, you don't ask permission to move the furniture like we just said. If you want to change things, you can change things. If something is broken, you get to fix it. If something doesn't belong, you throw it out. If Jesus is settling down in our hearts and making our hearts his home, doesn't mean he has his own little room. It means the whole house is his. All of me is his. He has authority for all of it. So I don't know, when you guys are, as you sit here, could you say that? Could you actually say, Jesus has all of me? Or are there many rooms, but a few that he can't have? I don't know. I've been there before. There's this like one part of me that's like, ah, Lord, you can have everything else and you can make everything else look really good. But this part, oh, this was really hard. Like, please don't open that door. Please, Lord, don't go in there. Like, you don't want to see that. And he's like, Ben, I already see it. You're the only one who thinks I can't see it. And I remember my friend Ulf, who actually helped us plant Josh Jen upstate. He had this, just this vision, this picture one day of his own heart. And there was a room in his heart that he did not want Jesus to enter. And he was resistant. And actually in the picture, he saw that there was like almost like a custom lock on this door. And as Jesus approached that door, there was the same custom imprint in his hand as the key to open that door. And he opened that door. And Ulf was set free. Which I wish we were here to tell the story. Like literally, the Lord invaded that space and set him free from a stronghold in his life. Changed him. Changed him forever, overnight, by the power of God. The indwelling Spirit of Jesus, or Spirit of God in him, it changed him. Yeah. You know, we shouldn't really resist it, though. Like, if Jesus moves in, it's a beautiful change. When we actually do let Jesus in and have all of us, the Bible says a lot of good things about that. We become new creations. Like, he changes us. He resets us. He remakes us from the inside out. He rewires us. We become children of God. We become members of his body. He starts to shape us into his image. He starts to conform us to more of him. He starts to transform us. He sanctifies us. He purifies us. The things that were weighing us down and holding us back, he now has his full attention. And he says, listen, I get the pain that comes from this. I can help. I want to help. I'm going to help you soar. I'm going to help you fly. This morning, one of the ladies at church, she shared a picture I'll share with you guys of a hot air balloon. And actually, a lot of us are like a hot air balloon, and there are these bags of whatever, of weights that are like keeping the hot air balloon down. But actually, the hot air balloon, in a sense, is meant, it's designed to soar. It's designed to go higher, to be elevated, to go up. It's the same thing with us. Like, we are designed, guys, we are designed to soar. God has designed us to be like him. He's designed us for freedom. He's designed us for deep, sweet communion. He's designed us for a relationship with him. And so when he comes into our heart and he moves in, he actually starts to reconfigure us to just more of him. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But again, if you're sitting here, could you say, Jesus, move in? And could you say, yes, Lord, I trust you. I trust your decisions. Like, man, but so many times we resist that. Like, Lord, I like the way that I'm making me. I like my life. I like what I like. I like the freedom to do what I like when I like to do it. I like to be entertained by this idea and give myself to a little bit here and a little bit there. And I like the way that I'm being constructed. I'm constructing myself. And we resist actually Jesus coming in here and changing me. But could you say, man, Lord, I trust you. Make me the way you want to make me. Shape me the way you want to shape me. It won't always be easy. It won't always be enjoyable. There is friction when it comes to two people's wills. My will versus his. It's a battle. It's a battle on the floor of our hearts between me and the Lord. But man, let him win. Let him win. Let him have all of you. You were designed for that. You're designed for complete occupancy, permanent residency. Going back to the idea of now we have Jesus in us. He's in us. The indwelling Christ is a part of us. So I don't know if you've ever seen, I'm sure you have, like a little toddler that's afraid of something. So we have three kids, and it was mainly my middle son, Camden, who experienced a deep fear of dogs. And I mean, it was bad. And I know where it came from. He was really little, and this dog jumped on him, and we've come back from it since, but it took us a few years to overcome this fear of dogs. And so I remember being with him, and a dog shows up. If he sees a dog at someone's house, and he runs to me, right? He runs to Dad, and he says, Dad, pick me up. Pick me up. This thing's coming for me. And he's thinking, if I can just get to Dad, I'll be okay. He'll take care of me. If I can just get to his arms, he will pick me up and protect me from the chihuahua. I joke about that. I've been bitten by one dog, and it was a teacup chihuahua. I think I still have a scar. I went to my friend's house. I'm sorry. Now I have to tell you. I go to a friend's house. I'm standing in his yard. As I get out of my car, he's already barking around the side of the house. And one of the kids accidentally let him out of the gate. I mean, he's already barking. He literally comes sprinting around the side of the house. Like, he doesn't know what's around that corner, but he is going to get it. And I am what's around that corner. So this little teacup chihuahua sprinting. It was like slow-mo. He leaps, bites my leg, and carries on. So, those little chihuahuas are the worst. If you have a chihuahua, I am not sorry. I'm just kidding. But no, so my son, I grab my son. If I can just get to Daddy, here we go. he'll pick me up and we'll be okay. But have you ever noticed with little kids, after that moment happens where daddy picks them up and provides the protection, that their attitude changes towards the dog? Have you ever seen the attitude? Now it's like they taunt the dog. They're like, oh, you can't get me. It's like, bro, you were just terrified, and now you're picking a fight with this thing? What changed here? Daddy showed up. Daddy brought protection. And in some ways, it's like that. We are in Christ. Jesus dwells in us. If I can just get to daddy, if I can just get to his arms, he'll take care of this. And I don't know, I've literally been there in my life. I was there this week where it's like, okay, I feel like I'm being tempted with a thought right now. I'm tempted to spiral. I'm tempted to go to selfishness and pride and self-pity. And Lord, can I just get to you? Like, I just want to take this to you because I know where this goes. I know where this leads if I entertain this any longer. So I just want to get to you, Jesus. I was in worship tonight in that same place. It's like, Lord, why am I so prone towards pride? Oh, Lord, change me. I'm here in worship thinking like, how can I have any thoughts towards myself while we're worshiping the King of Kings? What is wrong with us? What's wrong with me that in that place, in a moment of deep worship, my brokenness is like, hey, you want a little glory? And I find myself, Lord, change me. I'm serious, Lord, change me. I don't want this. I don't want to be like this. I don't. Please transform me. Take my heart and change it. Truly. I don't want. It feels like a plague sometimes, sin. I can't wait to get to heaven and we won't have to battle it anymore and it'll be incredible. But man, Christian, you don't fight alone. Jesus is in you. The power of Christ is in you. So run to daddy. Run to the Father. Give him your life. Say, yes, Jesus, I trust you. Lay it down. Third way, a third answer to the question, Jesus, God, how? How does your love strengthen me? In the next verse, the third way is his love stabilizes us. His love stabilizes us. And Paul's going to use, he uses two metaphors when it comes to this, and we are in verse 17, at the end of verse 17. That Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints the love of Jesus. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. Two different metaphors. One is agricultural. The other is architectural. Architectural. Guys, Robin, who led worship, is an architect. Certified. Recently certified. She's incredible. And don't ask her to help you with anything right now because she's got a lot on her plate. Work was like, here you go. You're really good. We're just going to like triple your workload. Hey, there you go. The agricultural is rooted. Jesus wants us to be rooted in what? Love. Of all the things that the Father wants us to be rooted in, he says love. That you would be rooted like a tree that sends its root system down and out deep and wide, and it looks for nourishment. It looks for steadiness. It looks for dependence. It looks for stability. We too should be rooted in love. And then we should be grounded, not necessarily in the electrical way, but we could say that. If you're not grounded, you're going to have some intermittent power. If you're not grounded, you might have no power, but this is the architectural one where you need a foundation. Where, again, Paul's praying, he's begging, he's pleading with us, like, hey, please be grounded. Let your foundation be sure. Let it be solid. Let it be stable. I want to build something on that. If that foundation's cracked, it's going to be crooked. So be grounded in this love. Be grounded in his love. Oh, yeah, Lord. To be rooted, it means to be firmly rooted. To be grounded means to lay a foundation like in a building, to be established on something that can't be shaken. So what does God's love do in this moment? Why love, in a sense? You know, his love reminds us. His love reminds us. When we think about being rooted in love, being established in love, being grounded in love, I think one of the reasons is because it reminds us. When we do communion, we come to the table and we say, Jesus, take me back. Take me back to the sacrifice of your son on the cross. Take me back to those five wounds that you had for me. Take me back and remind me, Lord, of the price again. The price for my freedom, for me to go free, for you to actually take my guilt, even though you're innocent, and for me to walk away as innocent while being guilty. Take me back to that place. Take me back to the good news. Take me back to the gospel. Take me back to where it all began. Take me back to forgiveness, Lord, where you found me and you washed me white as snow, where you found me with a record of debt that stands against me, and where your blood washed that away and said, it's just as if you never sinned. Take me back. And so his love reminds us of who we are. Everything about me as a Christian is built on someone else's foundation. I bring nothing to the table. It's just Jesus. And so his love reminds us. I think his love refreshes us. His love refreshes us deeply. Powerfully. We see this even in human terms. I think even unbelievers would know what it's like to be refreshed by love. Someone, maybe a family member, a compliment, an act of kindness, an act of service, a selfless act, and we're just refreshed. Just refreshed. It's like being married to Becca. Every day is refreshing. So his love reminds us, his love refreshes us, his love roots us. But you know what? His love also resolves us. Knowing that I have the love of my good Father means I can run through walls for him. Gives me deep inward resolve. I can obey him. I can forget about this not making sense, what he's asking me to do, because I know he loves me. And I know he's good to me. He's not against me. He's for me. And so, Lord, wherever you go, I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you. There's this thing that I was confronted with recently where actually you know that our love has boundaries. Where we look at Jesus and he did not consider his life. And he had zero boundaries for his love. Philippians 2. He died on the cross. He became a servant. He became a man. He became a servant. He died the death of a cross. And he considered himself nothing. He had no boundaries. He had no like, hey, this is my love stops here. Like I'll carry you this far, but you're on your own after this. There's none of that. I was confronted with my own boundaries, and I feel like the Lord allowed it to happen to see that, to see it in me and to see it in us, that we have boundaries. And so we were in vacation a couple weeks ago in Linville Falls, North Carolina. Anyone been there? It's right off the Blue Ridge Parkway. It's gorgeous. I was like amazed. I was blown away. And I had to make a late night diaper run. So nothing is open in that area. there is nothing. It was like I went to a Dollar General that said they were open, they were closed. Then I went to a gas station and they were like nothing. And then another gas station. Then finally I went to a fourth one. And about the second stop, I remember the Spirit saying, this is for someone. There's a purpose. I was like, okay. So I finally get to the last Dollar General, and I'm in line, and I'm about to check out, and I feel like the Lord wants to use me to encourage Liz, the girl at the counter. And I get there, and we start talking about diapers, and she has three kids, and I have three kids, and as we're just checking out, it was really casual. And I'm feeling the Spirit's tug, and I'm like, I'm kind of tired right now. So I get in the car, and I don't do it. I don't listen. And I get in the car, and I'm just like, God, why am I like that? Change me. I'm so sorry. I'm sick of this. This isn't the first time this has happened. Lord, change me. And so I feel like he's like, you can call her. So I was like, okay. So I call her. She picks up right away. I'm like, Liz, I'm the guy that just came through. We talked about diapers. I should have said this while I was there, but I feel like the Lord just wants to say he loves you. And he knows about your ups and downs. And he knows your pain. It was super simple. And there's a silence on her end. And then she said, my mom just passed away a couple months ago. And it's been really hard. I was like, oh, look, why don't I obey? Why don't we listen right away? We don't know the other person's story. We don't know what they're going through. We don't know. And how can I say I'm a willing vessel but then be unwilling? And so I asked her, I was like, do you know Jesus? You know, do you have a relationship with Jesus? She said, yeah. I think that's what's helped me get through this, is knowing Jesus. But it's this beautiful thing. But what it showed me was there's a boundary to my love. Lord, I'll bring brownies to the neighbor. But man, talking about you, I don't know. That might be just outside my boundaries. I don't know if I could ever pray with someone in Dollar General. I don't know if I could ever do that. And we're all at a different place in our walk with Jesus. And that's okay. The Bible says that that's the plan. Jesus himself apportions, measures out to each of us our own rate of growth. So that's okay. But I do think that our prayers should become, Jesus, stretch my boundaries. Move my boundaries. Like, Lord, change me. I'll go a little farther next time. A little farther. Lord, I'll give this much. And Lord, help me to give more. You've given it all. You thought nothing of your own life. You were dead to yourself. Let me be like you. And then look what he'll do. Look how he'll change us. Look how he'll use us. Look at, there's an effectiveness. There's an effectiveness, this effectiveness that comes with this. Oh. Yeah. Love actually, when we're rooted and we're grounded in love, it actually becomes our ecosystem. We're in it. You know, like a fish doesn't think about water, they just swim in it. Christians don't always think about we're in love. We're rooted in love. It's our existence. It is our surroundings. It's our Christian environment. It's where, you know, like a fish is, it's water. It's where they breathe. It's where they move. Everything they do happens in that. But for us as Christians, our entire spiritual existence is in the love of God. It's in him. Everything we do is built on that foundation of love. We're in it. I think it's beautiful that everything we are is anchored in something deeper than our circumstances. It's love. And from this passage here, it's a vast love. There's a lot of debate about the length, the depth, the height, the width of his love and what exactly that means. But we can all agree that it means it's a vast love. There is a vastness to the love of God. And just that there is a boundary to my love that I hope he changes. There are no boundaries to God's love. They actually say the Pacific Ocean covers more than 63 million square miles. 63 million square miles. And over 80%, this blew my mind, 80% of the Pacific Ocean actually remains unmapped and unexplored. That's hard to believe. And we know the deepest known point, you guys know what that is? Mariana Trench, is about 7 miles deep. That's insane. And there might be a day when humanity maps all of it, right? Where finally somebody has finally hit the last square inch of the Pacific Ocean. I don't know. But the love of Jesus cannot be exhausted. God's love for us can't be mapped out, can't be measured out. It's vast and it's free. And I feel like we've barely scratched the scratch on the surface. We've barely begun to know what it's like to be loved by him, to be loved perfectly by him. Oh. You know, Paul goes on and he actually talks about how we are to, in the next phrase there, he's praying that we'd have strength to comprehend love with all the saints. I want you to see this because this changes us. This is body life. This is church life. This is communal living. This is community. May have strength to comprehend with all the saints. Everybody say it and then say amen. All the saints. Will, did you say amen? Okay, good. There's a part that we as a church family, we are together, collectively combined. We're the ones sailing across and mapping and discovering the love of Jesus together. There's a part of it that's not just you. Guys, there are no rogue warriors. There are no lone rangers in Christianity. It is definitely a team sport. It is not a solo play, a solo match. It's all of us. It says it right there. You just said it. With all the saints. Paul's begging, he's pleading. Guys, get this in your hearts and in your heads. Like, this isn't just for you, it's all of you. And so when you discover a new portion, a new territory of the love of Jesus, it is immensely important for you to tell us, to bring it to us. And when I experience it, I see more of the love of Jesus, I bring it to you. And we share in that with all of the saints here, Josh Jen Greenville, globally around the world. We are together on a worldwide mission to explore and plumb the depths of the love of Jesus together with all the saints, with all the holy ones, with all those who are redeemed, all those who are saved. Together. Everyone say together. Doesn't that strengthen you? Doesn't that strengthen you to know that we're in this together? Man, it's not up to me to map this out and to chart a course. As we all look to Jesus and we all try to dial in, it's like someone recently said, like those old trucks with the radio thing where you had to like slowly dial in to the AM, FM, and you're like, we're trying to tune in. We're trying to get this right. We're doing that together, and we're going somewhere together, and we're going deeper into the love of Jesus together, and it is broad, and it is long, and it is high, and it is deep, and that should strengthen us. That should speak to our soul to know that Jesus' love is more vast than anything you can possibly imagine. But what is strength? We're talking about strengthening and more and power. What exactly is that? It just means to make strong, to increase in strength. And it's more than just having energy, just having enough energy for the day. It's more than that. It's God-given in this instance, God-given, Holy Spirit-empowered ability to keep going when everything else tells you to quit. It's endurance, it's robustness, it's fortitude, it is an increase of strength. And we get that. The Spirit of God in us, giving us power. Jesus himself dwelling in us. Then his love stabilizing us, deepening us. It strengthens us, it changes us. Which leads me to the last thing. His love overwhelms us. It moves us. It should change us. It says his love surpasses knowledge in verse 19. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. What is that? How can something surpass knowing? I don't fully grasp it. The word surpass just means to throw beyond, to throw over, to go past. This goes past knowing. The love of Jesus goes past knowing. It's not just information. It is transformation. It's not just an observing. It's an experiencing. It's a being in the mix, being a part of it, not just talking about it or seeing it from afar. It's literally in us, changing us. I'm experiencing it right now. An experiential love of Jesus. And when we do that, when we experience it surpasses. It does. It surpasses knowledge. And I know there are some of you, and I hope all of us one day, truly, truly, I think this is where all the saints are going. I hope we can all collectively say, I know what that's like to go into my own secret place or go into worship as a church or be loved by someone, but be in this place where the Spirit of God, like we talked about last week, the glory of Jesus in our hearts is heavy on us. The weighty presence of Jesus overwhelms us, overcomes us. And I've been breathless. I know you guys have been there. You've been breathless. I'm all alone. I'm not standing on a cliff. I'm not experiencing fear. I'm just being loved, and it's literally making me breathless. There is nothing sweeter. There is nothing richer, nothing purer, nothing. It's just love. I think that's when we get to that place, a lot like what this means. It surpasses knowledge. His love overwhelms us. I think of David, and all over the Old Testament, all over the Psalms, we see him talking about this kind of love. And I'm sure you and me both can't wait to talk to him and say, tell me more. Tell me about it. But he says in Psalm 63:3, your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. It says in Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's an experience here. Let's read Psalm 36:5-9, a few verses, but it says this, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, the height of his love. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep, the depth of his love. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Those are verses. Those are words written by a man overwhelmed with abundant love. Yeah. Abundant love. Have you been there? Do you want to be there? Oh. Frederick Lehman writes this a song that I'm sure some of you guys know. But it says this: could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scrolls contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. If we employed every human, almost 8 billion of us, and we gave them all a pen, and we said, write about the love of God, still wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough. So I am wrapping this up and coming to a close, and I just, do you guys want more? Do you want to know the love of Jesus? And again, maybe this morning, you were on a hike, you were on a walk, and you experienced the refreshing love of Jesus. Maybe you're in a great place. Awesome. But there's more. And maybe you are like me. It was just a hard week. Man, I had to battle. I felt like I had to battle for like level ground. And you need to know, God, are we good? Like, can you remind me that you love me? Can you refresh me in that love? And can you take it deeper? Is that okay? So maybe like let's all stand. And as we do conclude, and Robin can come on up. Can I just ask the Spirit to remove veils? Is that okay? Because like we said at the beginning, my prayer and what makes change possible is it's just for the Holy Spirit to do what he does. For the Holy Spirit to actually bring transformation and change. So can we pray for that? So again, can you open your hearts? I'm going to pray for it, and then I'll hand it over to Lon to land it. But Lord, yeah, Lord, would you change us? But Lord, would you open our eyes to see your love for us? Will you open our eyes to see another glimpse of just how vast it is? Lord, like little kids coming to you, Lord, will you show us? Show us that abounding love, the unending love, faithful love. Show us that, Jesus. Would you work in us tonight, Lord? Would you work in us? Do it, Lord. So yeah, let's just wait in this place, see what God wants to do. But man, let his love strengthen you. Let his love build you up and take you deeper. Let his love become your identity. Let his love give you resolve. Let his love give you refreshment. Let his love remind you. He loves you. He loves you.